Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Monday morning, April the 27th, 2026. 4/27/26, last Monday in the month of April. Only 4 days left, and May will be here on Friday. And I was listening to the weather report there. It sounds as if, what is that? April will go out like a lion, and May will come in like a lion. Friday, May Day, of course. Although we don't really know what that means. We talked a little bit about May Day last week. I thought it had something to do, I thought it was a Canadian holiday. And then I was told that in the United States for years, people used to get a May pole, and women would dance around the May pole. Now, nobody really knows what this signified, and I don't see a lot of that going on anymore, but May Day is Friday. And you know what May Day means? It means we're 5 days away from Cinco de Mayo. And Cinco de Mayo is very important this year because it is primary day. And boy, are we going to have some primary coverage this year on WGH Talk, because we have got local, we have got state rep races, we have got things going on with both parties on the state level. We've got a gubernatorial primary, so we will have our primary coverage next Tuesday night, and we'll tell you more about that as we get closer to the big event. But here's something interesting. I was reading an article. Was it yesterday? I think it was yesterday, and I think it was in the Dispatch, and it was basically talking about how this gubernatorial primary, that Vivek Ramaswamy might be losing some ground. That with Heather Hill out, I don't know how much effect that had on anything anyway, but that Casey Putch, and I don't even think they really mentioned him all that much, if at all, in the article, but basically there is such a dislike with Vivek Ramaswamy in the Republican Party right now that he might be losing some ground in the Republican primary next week for governor. I don't know if that's true or not. I think that's very interesting. But in any event, because of that, next hour, I'm going to replay the interview, because we've only got a week to go before the primaries. I did an interview with Casey Putch last week. I think it was last Wednesday. And I don't know, you know, people listen at different times of the day. So I'm going to repeat that interview next hour, because I want people to hear that before the primary and maybe give you a week to think about it. So if you didn't hear the Casey Putch interview last Wednesday, or you haven't heard it since, or you did hear it, I really think you should listen to it again, because now this is the only other man running for governor in the primary if you are a Republican. So we're going to repeat that Casey Putch interview next hour. But this hour, the phone lines are open if anybody's got anything to say. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Phone lines are open. Tonight is a full city council meeting. It is not a committee meeting night. Now, I heard the agenda there. It doesn't sound like there's a tremendous amount of items on the agenda tonight, but we still have not heard back from the state, which I think is very interesting. We were told last Monday by Mayor Collins that our plan, our fiscal plan, was sent to the state auditor on April the 6th. Now, today it is April the 27th, 21 days later, and Mayor Collins said he thought he would hear something back last week. That did not happen, so we'll see what happens. He told me he would let me know when the plan came back and what they had to say, and I certainly trust him to do that. I don't know where we are in that regard. I have a feeling tonight there might be some people who want to speak about some things that are not on the agenda for city council, but maybe not. It's hard to tell. If the weather's nice, people kind of want to come and go. But it may be rainy later on, so you never know. Again, the phone lines are open here this morning if you have anything to say. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Little bit of a chilly morning out there this morning. 51 degrees right now, but we do have sunny skies, so that's nice. They finally have planted in the field across from where I live. You know, I was thinking about this. It seems like it gets later and later every year that they plant over there. And I've seen some construction going on over there. Well, I've seen some machines that could cause construction. No construction, but it seems like everything's planted now, so that's interesting. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott. How are you?
I'm good. Last Monday in April blew by.
And it's cold.
You know, and apparently it's going to be cold right through the 1st of May on Friday.
It is, and that's my fault because we're having our Kentucky Derby party, or we're going to our Kentucky Derby party this weekend, and I've been planning for it for 2 months and looking forward to it. So it has to be cold because some of it's going to be outdoors.
You know what's weird? Every year,
sorry, guys.
Well, the Kentucky Derby is one of those things that I do try to watch. It'll be on Saturday this week, but I'm not all that gigantically into it as some people are, but I know a lot of people are very much into it. They wear the hats, they wear the dresses, they drink the mint juleps and all of that. And this morning I was reminded, I was reading through the USA Today and they had an article on it today, and I thought, you know what, here it is again. It's Saturday, it comes up fast.
There's a great story about one of the horses in the Derby this year. His name is So Happy, and the owner, he's been in horse racing for decades, and you know, it's everyone's dream to get to the Derby, and he bought this, and I guess he's a rather grumpy fellow, just notorious for being just kind of stern and kind of guy. He bought this horse, and he named it So Happy, which everybody thought was funny because he was known for being so gruff, and his wife passed away 6 months later, very unexpectedly. And now here this horse is at the age of, you know, I think, what is it, 2 or 3 year olds go to the Derby. He's made it to the Derby, this guy's lifelong dream. And so it's a kind of a special little story. I don't follow horses enough to know, you know, I know what the favorites are and that sort of thing, but I don't follow them enough to have my own favorites. So he's my favorite for the race.
You know, I love a good story like that. Now, do you have a hat and the dress and the mint juleps?
Yeah.
Do you do the whole thing?
I don't know about the mint julep. I've never had a mint julep. I would try one, but I don't have one like lined up or anything. But yes, I have a hat, a dress, shoes, a purse, accessories, and the husband has been styled in a blazer to match, and he has his fedora. And I'm actually going with some friends.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, from Marion. We kind of planned it last minute. So, looking forward to it. But it's going to be cold, so that's my fault.
And it's very quick, though. You know, there's a lot of stuff that goes on that day on NBC, and they show a lot of stuff. And I remember last year it was raining.
Like 10 races that happened that day, I think.
Right, but when they get to the one, it's very quick. It's kind of like the little brown jug. You know, there's a lot of preparation that goes into it, but then there comes that race, and it's exciting.
Well, we like drag racing also, and drag racing average race is less than 4 seconds. So we like that quick and fast stuff when it comes to sports and entertainment.
Well, I think build-up is good. I mean, I think if you have something that's a long-standing tradition and you know it's going to be quick, it's kind of like a boxing match, a wrestling match, anything like that, that you don't know how long it's going to go, and most of the time it's not going to
exactly.
go. Yeah, so you got to build it up.
It's the event itself. Yeah, it's sort of the event, and like at the races, you're in the atmosphere, you're in the sun, you're meeting the drivers, you're smelling the nitro, all that sort of stuff, and the races are minutes long once they actually get going.
Right, but I think the more build up you do, the more exciting it is. And the backstories do help. Like the story you just told, you know, if that guy does well, that's gonna be a great story because people know the story.
Mm-hmm. And people are I just hope they don't mess up the odds. I'm not much of one for gambling, but I'll throw a 20. I'm so happy. So I hope they don't mess up the odds, and if he wins, I can retire.
Well, there you go. There you go.
Reality. But, you know, that great story will probably mess up the odds. But City Council,
yeah.
They're selling the Dollar General land on there tonight again
with an
emergency clause. And we've been told a lot of things about that land, Scott. We've been told, well, we all know for a fact that it used to be a garage back in the day, as in a car garage, automotive. And they just used to dump oil and antifreeze and all the other stuff that comes out of the car into the ground. That land is contaminated. We know that. Mark Russell told us there would be EPA studies and all of this other stuff done before that land was developed. The attorney stands up there last week, says it needs an emergency clause because building season is upon us. How much land studies and such are going to be done if building season is upon us?
Well, I'm not sure, but I was there last week, and I thought when the emergency clause was discussed that coming out of committee, it was not put on there. Now, did I miss that?
I didn't think so either. Yeah, I didn't think it was either, but when I looked at the legislation on the agenda, it's on there. And the state of Ohio, I have the email from the state of Ohio. The state of Ohio is looking at the use of the emergency clause the first time they used it on this property. And they're considering using it again. So I'm hoping that's a typo and it didn't come off.
Aren't Rollins and Kreider a part of that committee, and weren't they the ones last week who didn't want to put the emergency clause in?
Rollins was the one. Well, Russell told him, you're not allowed to hold this up in committee.
I remember that.
And Rollins said, you know, basically, we've got to pass, we've got to move it on, but I think we should pump the brakes on this.
Right. Now, was Kreider the other one? Is he the chair of that committee?
Yes.
Yeah, and I thought neither one of them seemed all that excited. I think they passed it to committee because they were told that was their obligation to do, but that neither one were hot on the emergency clause.
Well, the state of Ohio is already reviewing it in the first instance, so is it really smart to slap another one on there when something's already being reviewed? I mean, and I can show them the email, but what does it matter? When I show them the emails, they don't care.
Well,
I know that I have it, and the state of Ohio knows that I have it.
They would have to suspend the rules last night, even with that emergency clause on there, and I don't know if they have the votes to suspend the rules, to be honest.
I know where you are. You don't get to... It's hard to take in everything where you are, and it's hard to take in everything where I normally sit, but when you're watching it, you get a different perspective. When Aaron Rollins said what he said about pumping the brakes, Sean Barr's face looked forlorn, and he looked over at Mark Russell and made eye contact like, what are they doing?
Yeah, but I don't think that Rollins would vote to suspend the rules. I don't think Kreider would vote to suspend the rules. I don't think Ralph Smith would vote to suspend the rules.
I hope not, because that is Ralph Smith's ward, and we're talking about building, and I'm not totally against this. They just need to show us on paper how this is going to affect our lives, because I do live down the street from it. And I do have a granddaughter that goes to that school. We're talking about dumping a Dollar General in a residential area. I mean, it's going to be 100 feet away from a house, the parking lot is, if even that, because there's nothing but an alley that separates that land and a house right now, just an alley. We're talking just feet from the school there, Scott, so think about the traffic. They also sell booze, and they also sell cigarettes right down the street from an elementary school. What other elementary school in Marion has a store within feet of it that sells booze and cigarettes? Now, there's another Dollar General in Bell Fountain across from McKinley, but there's much more space between McKinley Elementary School, and there's also Bell Fountain Avenue. We're talking about a place that sells booze and cigarettes on the same side of the street as an elementary school.
Well, I wonder if...
Would they allow that in their neighborhood, Scott? Or is it okay because we're over here in the hood and our kids are around booze and cigarettes anyway?
Well, you know, I don't know because I looked down on Main Street. You know, I went down Main Street last week and there are no schools in that area. But boy, there are an awful lot of these Dollar Generals everywhere.
Yes.
I mean, they are everywhere.
And little tobacco stores and everything else.
Right, and that's a whole nother thing. And you know, the gun shop that I think it's still there over by Harding, not very far from Harding at all. You know,
I don't think it's open anymore.
Well, and then
I can't say to that for sure.
Well, then you've
I don't think it's open anymore.
You've got Speedway right across the street that sells alcohol and all those things.
Those are also high school kids. We're not talking about elementary school kids. I mean, at that point, it's, you know, the due diligence. Okay, I would invite anyone to go hang out at Main Street Dollar General for a little while and see the comings and goings of that store. And then ask yourself if you want one of those next to an elementary school.
Well, I'd be interested to know if, I understand.
I don't go to Main Street Dollar General for a reason.
Well, I'd be interested.
And I live very close to it.
Well, I'd be interested to know. With and I know he's out campaigning last week for county commissioner, but Jason was the long-term councilman for this ward, Jason Schauber, that if he has any thought, if he's going to speak tonight on this, if he's going to show up, if he has the chance to speak on this, because I think he would have a very unique perspective on that land and the people who have been dealing with it, and what is the placement of this?
All I'm asking is that they give the residents a chance to be heard, and they do the proper EPA studies and everything else. There was a situation, and you may remember it from last summer, a man was trying to open a tattoo parlor on Center Street. He already owned the property. It was a house. And because it was in a residential area, and because the guy was covered in tattoos, they wanted to give him a hard time about opening. And he could have just tattooed out of his house and never told anybody about it. But he wanted to do the legit thing and get the certifications and the health department inspections and all that stuff that you're supposed to do. He wanted to do the right thing. That man had to go through city planning, which can be a month or two. He had to go through all three committee meetings, which is at least 6 weeks. And he had to go through all three council meetings, which was 6 weeks. And you know where that tattoo parlor was located? Very near where Mike Neff lived. That man fought for months to do the right thing. These people, they're going to go ahead and zone it for him commercial tonight. As soon as it passes, it's zoned commercial. They don't even have to go through city planning and ask if it's okay for this to be zoned commercial. It's going to be zoned commercial as soon as it's voted in.
Well, is it zoned commercial now?
No.
It's not. So
no,
all
that's
those,
why they need to change the zoning on it. So all see, of those tires laid in land that was not commercial for years.
And apparently some money was made on those.
$5
a tire or something
sure.
like that?
That's what I've heard, that they were paid to take those tires, or those were their, you know, like if you went and got new tires, well, we'll take yours, but it's going to cost you $4 a tire. I don't know that for sure. I know that the county got a grant that paid for that. They cleaned that land up so someone else can hurry up and turn it into a Dollar General right in the middle of our neighborhood. Here's another concern that I have, Scott. This neighborhood is notorious for flooding when we get heavy rains. It happened not too long ago. The only reason my basement doesn't still flood is because I put $10,000 into a main sewer line. My rental basements did flood. I had to go clean them up. I've done it plenty of other times. Our sewers are from 1906. Now you're going to put at the end of this street in a bottleneck where all the water is running out to the treatment plant. You're going to put an entire parking lot's worth of water. You're going to mix it in with ours. How many tens of thousands of gallons do you think that is? I know over here at where Dreyfus used to be, they send them a storm sewer bill every month, and they estimate it based on square footage of how much storm sewer, how much rainwater runs off, and it's $18,000 a month, their storm sewer, that they send them over there to the old Tecumseh building, where it's just flat. They bill them every month for that. How much rainwater is going to come from a Dollar General parking lot? How many basements are going to back up and flood because Sean Barr's friend needed to hurry up and sell this land?
You know, I don't know what the inner workings are of that, but I think it's going to be very interesting to see what council does, because I don't think they all are on the same page as of late. And I think I really don't. And I think,
because this is a real neighborhood, and those are what I just said to you are real concerns. I'm not just bitching just to bitch. Those are real concerns. And everyone around here should at least have the chance to be made aware of those things before the bulldozers pull up and start building the place.
Well, this is why, as I started the show this morning, you know, and maybe it's because we talk about elections all the time. You know, we've got 8 days till this election now on Cinco de Mayo. And when I read that article in the Dispatch yesterday that Ramaswamy's losing ground in his primary, now nobody's saying that he's going to lose that primary. But what they're saying is that he should be doing better, much better in that primary with the competition he has, which is one of the reasons I'm going to replay that Casey Putch interview next hour.
Foreshadowing for November, is that what you're saying?
Well, could be, but I think that there's something going on there that is very, if you read that article, if you find it from, I believe it was the Dispatch yesterday, there's something very unsettling, because basically, and I've said this for days now, you know, what in the world, okay, you can dislike Vivek's policies. You know, that's fine.
I dislike him for policies.
Okay.
That's the reason I dislike him.
But most people in the Republican Party who I have talked to who say they don't like him and they are going to support Putch or anybody else, or they're just not going to vote at all, they don't know anything about his policies. The answers that I get are he's got a bad attitude and he's arrogant and that he's a billionaire. Now, what in the he can't change any of that. So I don't quite understand exactly the backlash on Vivek Ramaswamy.
I remember a time when bad attitude and being arrogant would get you elected to the President of the United States.
Well, and you know, Matt and I had that conversation last Friday night, that Matt always calls Vivek Trump light, and that he's trying to imitate Trump. Mm-hmm. Well, apparently that doesn't work anymore. So, you know, what? And then you've got the other guy who, maybe it's just because people don't think he's going to win, and that's why we're going to replay the interview next hour. You know, during that interview, you can listen to it. I don't think he thought I was giving him a hard time. But, I mean, when I said, do you denounce anti-Semitism? Do you denounce racism? He wouldn't do it. Now, he said he's not going to play that game, but, you know, okay.
I denounce racism. I denounce anti-Semitism. It's really easy. Not hard.
Well, no,
I mean,
but
he could even have just said it, but that's a dog whistle. He doesn't want to say it because he doesn't want to lose those votes.
Well, then I turned him off.
I can't stand it. I tried to listen to him again the second time. I just can't do it.
Well, I just hope that people listen this morning because he is in the primary 8 days from now.
Listen until you have to turn it off.
Well, here's the thing, though. And I'm saying if you like him, vote for him. I'm not saying listen to not
but
vote for him.
Don't vote for him just because he's not Vivek. Please
right.
listen to him.
Listen to
you
what,
vote for him.
Listen to what he has to say because I think you should know what his plans are. Because I'm not sure that we know exactly what, you know, all I keep hearing in this election for anything above county commissioner is data center, data center, data center. Well, you know what? I would bet that data centers are coming no matter who's elected, especially for people in these state rep positions. They're just one vote to begin with.
Right.
So,
right,
you know,
that's fear-mongering, but that is something that we need to pay attention to because in states where they're going in, their water and electricity rates are skyrocketing. So, with the whole governor situation and the state-level situation, it's seeming pretty bleak for the next few years.
Well, I don't know what's
going to
happen.
I'm not a huge fan of Acton. Like, I don't dislike her. I'll probably end up voting for her, but I don't see her as an executive-level leader either.
Well, and here's the other thing. You know, I'll tell you, you cannot get past a Robert Sprague commercial for Secretary of State. I don't know who's dumping the money into this guy's campaign. I mean, he's the treasurer, been the treasurer for 8 years. I had no idea what he looked like. I've never seen him. I've never seen him campaign hard. But here he is running for Secretary of State, and this guy runs a commercial every time a television goes to a commercial for Secretary of State. So
his light don't have local channels.
And you know something? He never says that he's the treasurer. He never said. Now this is the city current treasurer. He never says that. He just
no one knows what a treasurer does.
Well, but I think it would be to your benefit to say, hey, listen, I'm an office holder. I've been here for 8 years. I didn't just crawl out of the dirt.
I know my way around Columbus.
Yeah. Well, something. You know, I can win elections. Something. You know, I don't know. There's something
up
with this.
Did he win that? I mean, did he win the election because he's a great treasurer, or did he win it because he had an R behind his name?
Well, I think it depends on who you would ask. But, you know, the problem is here is I'm not sure exactly why that Secretary of State's position, which many times it has been thought to be below the treasurer or the auditor, but yet now all of a sudden that's becoming a hot potato. There are primaries
elections.
On both sides for that one.
Elections.
Yes, it is about it.
You have the power over the elections, and that used to be very... non-controversial, just very cut and dry, by the book. And now we've politicized that. So somebody else wants to be in charge of it.
Well,
that's what that guy's doing. You want to be in charge.
Well, then you've got, and we talked about this on Friday, you've got these local races that are going on, I think local where we actually see the candidates here in Marion. And this 86 district thing, you know, I knew it would be ugly, but with 8 days left to go, this is about the ugliest thing I have ever seen. Now, I will say, Ben Weber is firing ads and mailers and all those out at Wesleyan, but, you know, it's just, I didn't do this, blah, 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 and it seems to me like she's fighting a social media campaign, which is kind of strange. Because I'm not sure what happened to her campaign, to be honest. Because, again, in December or January, she might have. But, now it's been Weber signs everywhere. It's been Weber literature. It's him out every day. It's him having a huge social media presence. It's him running television commercials. You know, it's all these things. And she almost seems like an afterthought now.
Happened. What did Wesleyan do that Ben didn't do? She drew alliances and lines in the sand early. Ben did not do that.
Well, that's what I think ultimately will be the factor in that race. As I have said, it's very interesting that when I ask people who they're voting for in that race, if they say Ben, it's usually followed by, I don't like the other person. And they're not talking about Stephen Wolf. But if people say they're voting for Wesleyan, it's not that they don't like Ben, they just prefer her. So she became a divisive person to a lot of people, and she's done that before. She attacked Tracy Richardson, she's attacked Jason Schaber, she's attacked a few people. And every conversation I've had with people about that race, everybody seems to have a story about where she said something very divisive.
And that's the reason why a 28-year-old with no experience is giving a seasoned Jerome Township trustee a run for her $250,000.
Well, you know what? I used to think it was going to be a close race. I'm not even sure it will be anymore. You know,
I don't think it will be. I think Ben's probably going to beat her handedly.
Well, Tracy Richardson won by 20 points, essentially. More or less 20 points. And people I was talking to last week essentially said they feel it's probably going to be about the same. And the only win for Wesleyan will be if she gets some wear down losing by 12.
Wow. So they're predicting a bloodbath, huh?
Well,
metaphorical.
But that could be wrong. It could be wrong. She could win. I'm not saying she can't.
They predicted Hillary Clinton was going to win, too, and we see what happened there.
Right, but I think there, and also I think there were, because she's been, nobody has really done any endorsing in that race outside of political candidates, I don't think. And, you know, I think Ben got the better group of endorsements.
Well, he didn't make everybody mad last election.
I mean,
she's got two elections now. And I know somebody else has probably got to want to complain, and I've got stuff to do. I may draw myself into the den of vipers tonight, fears to ask some questions. I'm not sure. We'll see. But I hope other people are paying attention. They need to be these people need to be on the record being questioned about this Dollar General and about the happenings. And so when it all comes down to it, there's a recording that exists that we can go to for investigative purposes, let's put it that way.
Well, it should be entertaining. I mean, I think something will come of it tonight.
Hey, I just want to put this out there again. The state of Ohio once again told me to sue the city of Marion, told me to take them. The stuff that they were doing with the private meetings and the this was all figured out before it ever got voted on. That's the Open Meetings Violation Act. It's a self-help law. But the state of Ohio told me exactly how to sue the city of Marion again. So I hope, if anything, people are paying attention to that, too. That
all
the,
right.
The state is telling us how to sue our own legislators.
Well, and we haven't seen the plan rejected or accepted as of yet, 21 days at this point.
I just looked. The state of Ohio does their releases on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and by midday we'll know if it's coming out tomorrow or not.
Well, that'll be good to know.
Talk to you later.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye. All right, phone lines are open for about another 15 minutes here. If you'd like to say something, feel free to weigh in now, because next hour, like I said, I'm going to replay that Casey Putch interview. He's running for governor in the Republican primary, and I think it would be a good thing to listen to that, even if you heard it last week. Sometimes you hear something new the second time around, but we don't have long left to go, and apparently there are things shifting in that race. Now, again, I don't think it's shifting enough to defeat Vivek, but it's definitely worth hearing. And again, the phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. 45 minutes past the hour on this April 27th, 2026. Last Monday in the month of April, as we head on into the month of May on Friday, May Day. Which, I don't know what the celebration is here in America anymore. Quite different, I think, from what it once was. But City Council tonight at 6:30. A lot of interesting questions there about this Dollar General that could possibly be built across from Logan Tire. You know, I don't know. I don't remember an emergency clause being on that legislation when it came out of committee, but maybe it was. I don't have a photographic memory of those sort of things. So maybe it was. Well, let's see. Elections a little over a week away. I think a lot of people like to hear about the big local election. The county commissioner race, that'll come down to, you know, it's interesting. I don't really know, honestly, on the whole, what this county commissioner race is going to come down to. I really think it's probably more the split between the three establishment Republicans of Christy Neff and Mooney and Stuyvesant. How much will each of them get? I think Schauber has a particular group, which was last time when he ran for commissioner, right around 30%. I think that's where he will be. But how will the other three split up the remaining 70%? And is there a candidate strong enough in that group to pull better than 30% of the vote, which is probably what it would take to win that race? I would think the person who wins that race has got to be 30% or better in a four-way race, even though you wouldn't need 30% to win. Technically, you could win with over 25%, but I don't know. If somebody gets over 30%, likely, not a guarantee, they probably are going to be the winner. All right, 48 minutes past the hour here, 740-383-9944. Feel free to buzz in if there's anything on your mind. 740-383-9944. Now, they're still doing work on the Culvers out in front of Meyer. So that's coming along. I don't think any structure has been built yet, but they are plowing up the land out there. Now, the Starbucks here on Delaware Avenue, again, I think they're just pretty much plowing up the land at this point. I don't think we've seen anything more than that. The Goodwill down here, where Hills used to be on Delaware Avenue, we definitely see the outside structure of that. That's coming along. looks like it's going to be a mammoth structure down there. And I think those are the only big construction projects going on right now that I can think of. Now, if somebody else has something that I'm forgetting, feel free to buzz in, 740-383-9944, but those are the ones that I remember, can think of, off the top of my head, going on here in Marion. And apparently we do know now, this was a report we ran a few weeks ago, we'll come back to this momentarily here. Go ahead, caller.
Hey,
how's it going?
It's wonderful, the sun's shining, and I get to go to the knee doctor, I get to go vote, I get to do all this fun stuff. When they start talking about the Dollar General, I don't know what the West End would do without Dollar General. I mean, the only problem I have is the people that go in there aren't very respectful of the store. You go in there sometimes and it's really nice and neat and so on. Then they open the doors for the public, and oh, all hell breaks loose. But anyway, and I remember when they was going to open that, oh, everybody just had a fit. Can't have that right there, but the elementary can't do this and that. Oh, what we do without it now? So,
well,
you know, I will guarantee you every building that's gone up in Marion, there's been a fuss about it. So, just whatever. Hey, Scott, it's been good. I got to go get busy. I've got a busy schedule.
All right. Well, hey, thanks for calling in. I appreciate the opinion. Bye-bye. All right. Well, there's an opinion, and we always welcome the opinions on this show. I think it's very important to hear what people have to say. And we've got about 9 minutes left, so if you'd like to weigh in, please feel free. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Feel free to give us a buzz if there is anything on your mind. There probably, I would guess, there are very few structures in Marion that somebody was not happy about, like the last caller said. But I don't know in the long run. I think some things probably go up easier than others. But, you know, that's the way it goes as we go down the line here. Okay. Well, we've got a lot of construction going on in Marion. Oh, the other thing that I don't think I've really talked about on the show was we got news from Kroger Corporate a couple weeks ago that a gas station, Kroger Gas Station, will now be being built at the 95 location. And apparently this is going to start sometime this spring, and it will be completed sometime in the fall. So we've still got a little ways out on that. But according to the people at Kroger, this gas station is going to be put in front of the store. Now, that's a parking lot out there in front of the store. You know, that's all been all parking lot area for quite a while now. Walmart's parking lot, Payne's Pizza, the pet store there, the shoe store. Do you think there's enough room for a gas station out there in front of Kroger in the parking lot? You know, cars don't extend all the way to the end of the parking lot. But how big is a gas station? I think is the question you have to ask yourself. Certainly there would be room to build something out there. There's usually a food truck out there from time to time. But could you put a gas station out there? I doubt it would be a super big gas station. Kroger gas stations tend not to be huge structures. Certainly the one on Delaware Avenue, they just have the little place where the little building, the little structure where the employee sits, and then they've got what? I don't know how many pumps they have. I haven't counted them in a long time. But a structure like that, I mean, that's in the parking lot of Kroger, so maybe it would work on Route 95. Does anybody like the idea of the Kroger gas station coming to Route 95? I think it certainly will drum up a lot of business for all the businesses in that area, because Kroger has that deal with fuel points, which a lot of people like. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. We've got about 6 minutes left in the broadcast here today, 54 minutes past the hour. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Feel free to give us a buzz if you have any thoughts on the Kroger gas station coming to Route 95, apparently this fall. We like to keep people updated on what is coming and going here in Marion. So we got the Kroger gas station in front of the store on 95. We got the Starbucks out here on Delaware Avenue. We've got the Culver's out in front of Meijer. We've got the Goodwill location out here where Hills used to be on Delaware Avenue. So a lot of stuff being done that will hopefully help the citizens of Marion. 740-383-9944. And again, don't forget, City Council meeting tonight at City Hall, second floor, 6:30. It is a full City Council meeting, and we'll see where that all goes tonight. Now, one thing that I still think is, what should I say? I think it's very interesting that when these meetings happen, these City Council meetings happen, not a lot of people are asking about the report that was sent to the state auditor on April the 6th, our correction plan. And I still don't understand what's going to happen with curbside recycling or the raising of the bus fares, because it has not been done yet, according to Scott Kreider, last Monday, after the City Council meeting. So, I still don't, maybe it was in the plan, and if the state likes that plan, they'll do away with curbside recycling, and they'll raise the bus fares then. I've not really understood how this is going to happen. Maybe that's how it'll happen. I don't know. I guess we'll find out as we go on down the road. But I certainly think that's something very interesting to put in to people's thought process. And does anybody have any more thoughts on curbside recycling going away or the bus fares being raised? I think everything else in the mayor's letter from February has pretty well been done at this point. The raising of the sanitation fees, the raising of the storm sewer fees, getting rid of 50% of the tax credit if you work outside of the city of Marion. You know, I think that's all been done and decided. But the two that were not were getting rid of curbside recycling and the bus fare raises. So, we've got a few minutes left here if you'd like to weigh in. 3 minutes left to go. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I do want to remind everybody again, next hour, we're going to replay the Casey Putch interview that aired last Wednesday, because the gubernatorial primary between Putch and Ramaswamy will happen next Tuesday. How about that? 8 days away. Cinco de Mayo. Get ready for the big election coming up on that day. Don't forget to vote. I don't know what the weather is going to be like, because the rest of this week apparently is supposed to be rather cool. And then Friday, May the 1st, is supposed to be rather cool. I don't know where we're going to be on election day, May the 5th. Cool temperatures and rainy temperatures tend to keep people away from the polls, but we hope not. We hope people go out and vote, because there are a lot of primaries that day, especially if you're a Republican. I think most seats statewide, maybe with the exception of John Husted's Senate seat, all have a primary, including the governor. And certainly the county commissioner race here in Marion. Now, on the Democratic side, I think you've got the Secretary of State primary between Russo and Hambly, and I think there's an Attorney General primary going on the Democratic side. So there are a couple there, but certainly nothing like what's going on the Republican side. But I think a lot of Democrats in Marion might pull Republican ballots to vote in this county commissioner race. And, or maybe the 86th district race, because there is a race there, Wolf, Davis, and Weber. So, interesting times to say the least. We're down to about the last minute here. And again, I do want to remind everybody to listen to that Casey Putch interview from last Wednesday, next hour at 9:15. I think it's worth listening to with 8 days to go until the big primary where Putch will face off against Ramaswamy. Certainly something I think a lot of people will want to hear, and certainly worth your time. So stay tuned. We're going to take a quick break here on WGH Talk, and we're going to come back with last Wednesday's interview with Republican primary gubernatorial candidate Casey Putch here on WGH Talk. And remember, listen to the interview, even if you've heard it before, because a lot of people are going to be placing votes 8 days from now. We'll be back right after this short but important break.
You're listening to the place for the best guests and talk. From Joey Diori at WGN's Bozo